Last Sunday, we talked about Jonah, and I had a couple of you come up to me and go, wow, that was really something that I really enjoyed hearing. It was something that I needed to hear. And that's always exciting to me, that God, in spite of me, uses me in order to be able to share a word. And this morning what I want to do is I want to bring you something, but I want to caution you first. All right, here's my caution. And I started this last week, and I didn't finish it. When I listened to the tape, I thought I didn't even finish that thought. There is a danger sometimes when a pastor or preacher is going to preach on something either A, very familiar, like Jonah, or something that you feel may not necessarily really apply to your life, or it's something that you're not terribly comfortable with. The tendency is to sort of zone out. I know none of you have ever done that. I know none of you are doing that right now. Okay, I am talking. I just want to make sure you are. Okay, good. I just make sure you are with me on that. But, you know, the tendency is sometimes we just sort of tune out. We've all done that. If you've ever sat in a college lecture hall, you've done that. I mean, you know, the guy's talking. He's going on and on. But in church, we can do that as well if we're really familiar with the passage or if it's something that we're thinking, well, yeah, whatever. That's just not important. That's what I'm concerned about here this morning because here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about fasting. This morning. Now already some of you are going, that's just great. I've got a Danish in my hand. How can I be talking about fasting? I'm eating Danish. It's okay. It's all right. Derek, I was not looking at you, but yeah, you've got like four of them in front of you there. No, wait, it's just one. All right, it's all right. Go ahead, eat it. That's fine. Eat up. That's. Thank you very much, though, for doing that right on time. I appreciate that. Fasting is something that if you've been to church most of your life, and a lot of you in here have, you've heard of fasting in some way, shape, or form. Maybe you went to a church that participated in fasting. But I am convinced that there are still a lot of things that are believed by Christians about fasting that aren't truly accurate, or perhaps the perception is a little bit off. And so what I'd like to do this morning, and I'm not suggesting that I'm giving the definitive word on fasting. I think you know me well enough to know by now that's not how I approach things. There's an awful lot that you can look at here, but what I want us to see is, why is it that fasting is important still today? Because a lot of folks think fasting is sort of a past thing that we used to do. There used to be fasting. It talks in the Bible about fasting. But here's a question I want us to know, or I want us to look at. How do you let someone know that you're very serious about something? That you're really serious. So if I'm having a conversation with Luke, and I want him to know how serious I am about what it is that I'm saying. There's a number of ways I do that. I would do it with perhaps the words that I say, the language. I'd use words that are very strong or very powerful. Maybe the tone of my voice. My voice might deepen a little bit. I might get more intense in the way I say it. My body language. Maybe eye contact. I never break eye contact with him when I'm talking with him. These are all ways that somebody can know that you're really serious. Maybe even the volume. Very serious about this. Sometimes you get really loud when you're serious. Sometimes you get really quiet when you're serious. You ever done that? Getting quiet when you're serious is a really good way for people to know that you're really intense on something. All of you parents are all going, yes, I've used that many times. My sons have said to me, it's like the voice of death. They say, Dad, when you get really quiet about something, we get really scared and nervous. My sons are 28 and 26 years old. I'm glad actually to see I still have that kind of authority over them. I think they're just kidding me. But that's one of the ways that I can help people to know that I'm serious. So here's my second question. How do you let God know that you're really serious about something? Is there a way that we can show God that we are really intent on something? That there's something that means so much to me? Now, I can yell at God. And have you ever yelled at God? It's okay to say yes. Have you ever yelled at God? I've yelled at God a couple times. Kind of gutsy, isn't it? It's just, yes, I'm just going to yell at the Almighty God. It's okay. That was my lightning bolt. I thought you probably got that. That's a very natural emotion for a lot of people. We get so angry, so aggravated that sometimes we just call out to God and say, why? So I can be intense that way. But there are other ways to be able to do that as well. Now, one of the things we have to keep in mind is you can be very serious and intense, very convicted about something, and still be wrong. I hate to tell you that. Let me give you some examples. I like these. These are great. These are examples of short-sightedness that some of you may be aware of. These people were very convicted about what they were saying, very certain, but they probably weren't right. Popular Mechanics is a magazine some of you might be very familiar with. In 1949, one of their scientists wrote about the advent of science and what was going on. And this was his statement, great conviction. Computers in the future may weigh no more, or no less, I should say, than 1.5 tons. That's what he was saying. He's saying computers may in the future may weigh less than 1.5 tons. Can you believe it? Here's another one. This was Ken Olson. He was the president, the chairman, and the founder of Digital Equipment Corporation. Now, this was in 1977, and his statement was, there is no reason anyone in the world would ever want a computer in their home. 1977. He was very convicted about that. Pretty wrong. The concept is interesting, this guy said, and well-formed, but in order to earn better than a C grade, the idea has to at least be feasible. This was a Yale University management professor in response to a paper written by Fred Smith about the creation of reliable overnight deliveries. He founded FedEx. Professor said it's got to be at least feasible to at least get a C grade. Very convicted, very wrong. Gary Cooper said once, I'm just glad it's going to be Clark Gable falling on his face and not Gary Cooper. This was in response when somebody asked him why he had turned down the leading role in a little small movie that was done in 1939 called Gone with the Wind. Gary Cooper was asked first to take that role. He said, no. He said, that's going to fall apart. There's no value to that. And then an executive at Decca Recording Company in London in 1962 said these words. He had had a band that had brought into him to play. Their guy was desperately trying to get a label to sign these guys. 1962. He said, we don't like their sound at all. As a matter of fact, guitar music is on its way out. That was in 1962. The band that he was rejecting was the Beatles. Yeah, wasn't a very good decision. So you can be greatly convicted about something. You can have great intensity. Dave, did you ask who the Beatles are? I thought you maybe were asking that. Well, see, you're such a godly man, you've never even listened to any of that stuff. I know that. Is there a way that we can let God know how serious we are about something in our lives? Let me read you a quote by a man by the name of Andrew Murray. He was a 19th century South African scholar and preacher. And here's what he said. He said, prayer is reaching out after the unseen. Fasting is letting go of all that is seen and temporal. Fasting helps express, deepen, confirm the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything, even ourselves, to attain what we seek for the kingdom of God. Prayer is when we are believing in those things that we cannot see. That's what the definition of faith is. The Bible says that the definition of faith is believing those things we cannot see, those things we can't touch, those things that are not, we're believing as if they are. Fasting is a way that we demonstrate to God that we are willing to do whatever it takes in order to see His kingdom come in whatever it is that's in our lives. Now, we can get more specific because to this point, that's very ethereal. I mean, that's a very broad way of looking at things. Let me get a little more specific. So what is a fast? Let me define what a fast is for you. Fasting is a voluntary withdrawing from food, usually, and or liquid for a specific period of time. I'm going to talk much more about that so that you have a better understanding about how that applies to us. The first time you ever see about fasting in the Bible is right in the beginning in Exodus. Moses, when he went to Mount Sinai, the Bible says that he went there. God called him, and he went, and he said, the Bible says he was without food or water for 40 days and for 40 nights. What happened after the conclusion of that time? What did God give him? 10 Commandments. Pretty important. God was preparing him for what it was that he was going to give him, 40 days and 40 nights. There are over 27 times in the Bible, in the Old and the New Testament, that it talks about fasting. So obviously fasting was something, and still is, that's very important. So many questions come up about fasting. So number one, how long should I fast? people often wonder that. You say, okay, so I'm going to fast. If I'm going to voluntarily not eat and or drink anything, how long am I supposed to do this? Well, again, the Bible gives us a number of ways to consider. You do see the 40-day fast in the Bible. And there's only three people that did a 40-day fast that's recorded in the Scripture. One was Moses. He did it twice. That's hard for me to believe, but he did it twice. The second guy that did it was Elijah. Do you remember when Elijah was running from Jezebel? If you read in 1 Kings. And he's running from her. This great prophet, this great man of God is running from Jezebel. Bible says he runs and he hides. And it said an angel of the Lord came to him and said, Elijah, come eat and drink something because you need your strength. Bible says Elijah got up and it was already there for him. He didn't prepare it. It was made by God for him there. So he ate the food, drank, and he went back to sleep. Angel came again and said, Elijah, get up. You need to eat and drink because you've got a long journey ahead of you. And then the Bible says that he traveled for 40 days without food or water to get to Hebron, which is where he was running to. Then the third person to fast for 40 days and 40 nights is in the New Testament. Jesus did that. Before he went to begin his ministry, the Bible says he went to the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, did not eat or drink anything, and then Satan came to tempt him. Let me just tell you something here. This is off to the side a little bit. Let me go over here. When you see Satan active in the Bible, virtually every time you see that, he's coming at things from a position of weakness. I say this because there are so many times I think that we give Satan so much authority and power in our lives. It's as if we're scared of this great entity that's going to bring all of this damage and havoc into our lives. Now, I'm not saying Satan doesn't have power, but folks, we give him way too much credit for the things that he tries to do in our lives. Jesus, 40 days and 40 nights, human body, tired, weakened physically, without food or water. This is when Satan comes in now and tries to tempt him. What a coward. What a weakling he is. Certainly not more authoritative than God in our lives. As we keep saying, Satan is not a one of creation. He is a created being. He is under the same authority that God has over everything else. Can I just encourage you that if you feel like you're being attacked right now, we serve a God who is so much greater. His authority, his power, just a single word, the word Jesus, the power of the blood that's been shed over us can drastically change everything that's taking place in your life. Can I encourage you, take heart and to hold to that, regardless of what it is that you're dealing with. Okay, that was just off to the side there. All right, I'm back. So how long should the fast be? As we said, there we see some examples of 40 days and 40 nights. Now, there is nothing of those fasts that was not done through supernatural intervention. You cannot live for 40 days without food and water. You have to have water to survive. So I'm going to caution you about some of those things because, once again, I think we become so engrossed in what it is that we're doing that we lose sight of why it is that we're doing it and how it's supposed to be done. A couple of others. You see many times in the Bible that somebody fasted for a day, for one day. That's a very common fast. That's a good one for people to, in the church today, to embrace. Is the Israelites, they were fighting amongst themselves. You read this in Judges, and they were called to a fast for a day in order to resolve those issues. David fasted when he heard about the death of Saul, just as a way of that mourning and just giving that time back to God. There are three-day fasts in the Bible that you see. One of the ones that you might know automatically would be Saul. Remember when he was walking along the road of Damascus and Jesus appeared to him and blinded him. What does it say he did? It said he went and for 3 days he didn't eat or drink or anything until God came in the authority of the prophet to release him of his blindness. So for 3 days he didn't eat or drink anything. Esther, read in her book, just before she went in to see the king, she fasted for 3 days in order to prepare herself in order to go in. There are a few others. Paul fasted for 14 days when he was on a ship that looked like it was going to be sinking. I might fast for as long as I needed to if I thought I was going down with the ship. So that was probably a good idea. 21 days, Daniel fasted, it said, when he was asking God to reveal a dream to him that he was going to be interpreting. So you see all types of different time periods to fast in the Scripture. There are also a number of different kinds of fasts. And I'm sharing this with you because I want you to have the understanding of the various elements of it before we talk about why you fast, which is the most important thing. There are absolute fasts. We just talked about Moses and about Jesus and about how they didn't have any food or water. Again, my friends, you have to have water. You have to have liquids in your diet. Can God sustain us for extended periods of time without certain things? Sure, He can. But it needs to be something that's truly given of God, and as all fasts should be. The most common fast that you see is what's called the normal fast, and this is where you abstain from foods primarily for any period of time. Again, liquids, clear liquids, those types of things are usually, you still have those things during a fast, but you're going to give up for a period of time any food into your system. Then the last one, and there are probably some others, but these are the three primaries, is called a partial fast. This is also known as a Daniel fast. And if you remember in Daniel 1, the story is that Daniel and the Hebrew boys were brought into the courts of Babylon because these were guys that were, the Bible says, is that they were intelligent, they were good looking, they were men of good stature, all those things. And they came to them and said, okay, boys, this is the foods you're going to eat and the things you're going to drink. And you remember what Daniel said. He said, listen, we can't eat and drink that stuff. But here's what I want you to do. Let us eat vegetables and fruits and drink water. And then come back and check us out later and see if we're as strong as everybody else. Of course, the Bible says that they were stronger. They were wiser because of what they had done. There are a number of people that will fast a Daniel fast, simply meaning that that's all you would eat would be fruits and vegetables and drink water for a period of time. There are a number of different ways you can do this. But what I want to share with you this morning that's the most important of all is why you fast. What's the reason that you would consider fasting? I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the 58th chapter. Another way to fast is to simply fast meals. Maybe you fast a breakfast or a lunch or a dinner over a period of time. There's any number of different ways that you can do this. But the question of why you fast is the most important one. You see, fasting is denying the physical in order to focus on the spiritual. That's what fasting is. I'm denying the physical things, the food that I'm going to take into my body, in order that I can focus on the things of God. Now, here's the most important thing you're going to hear this morning, one of the most important. When you fast, it must be accompanied by prayer. Those two things must go together. If you do not pray when you're fasting, all you're doing is you're participating in a glorified weight loss program. That's all you're doing. If you fast without prayer. Because the whole purpose of that is when I'm not eating, the time that I would spend eating, I'm spending that time instead focused on the things of God. How do I do that? Through prayer. And so any time in the scripture that you see anything about fasting, it always is accompanied with prayer. It's the same true today. If you fast, you must take that time that you would be eating and spend it with the Father. That's why there's so many different ways to do it in a way that's going to minister to you as you're being led by the Holy Spirit. I'll come back to that again. So Psalm 58, are you there? Let's start in verse 6. Oh, I'm sorry, what did I say there? Psalm? Okay, just checking, making sure you're listening. Isaiah 58, thank you. Start in verse 6. He writes, "Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe him, and to not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here am I.' If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday." One of the first reasons that you can fast is what Isaiah says, to loose the chains. Now, what are those chains? Well, it can be any number of different things. addictions in today's society are things that absolutely have entwined themselves completely around people's lives. What's an addiction? It's something that you absolutely can't do without. It can be a physical addiction. It can be a mental addiction. It can be an emotional addiction. There are things that many folks deal with that can only be broken through the power of fasting and the power of prayer. Can I encourage you this morning that if you're dealing with an addiction in your life, could be alcohol, pornography, cigarettes, overeating. You say, wait, Pastor Dave, are you getting a little close to home here, aren't you? Well, yeah, this is what the Bible does. It comes to the heart of who we are. If there is anything in your life that has taken the place of where God should be, it's not only an addiction, it's idolatry. Now, I'm not suggesting that everybody that's dealing with those things has that in that place, but there are some of you here this morning that I know because you've shared it with me. You say, man, I want to get this out of my life. Fasting could very well be a way for you to demonstrate to God in a way that maybe you've not done before and say, God, I am dead serious about changing this in my life. Fasting is a way that you can demonstrate that to the Father. And when you do that, to spend that time in prayer to say, God, come and change my life. Change my heart. Remove this from me so I don't ever have to deal with it again. He goes on to say that it's also to untie or to break the cords of the yoke. That's a second way, to untie or break the cords of the yoke. Now, a yoke is anything that holds you in a place that you cannot move. You know, in the scripture, a yoke over cattle or over the animals was designed in order to keep them together so that they could be controlled by the person who was holding the reins. The yoke would not let them move independently of each other. A spiritual or an emotional yoke today does the same thing. It keeps you tied in with something that needs to be broken. And that can be any number of different things. It could be finances. It could be relationships. It could be something about your job that needs to change. It could also be things like stress, anxiety, anger, disillusionment, hopelessness. We can get yoked to those things by the things that take place in our lives. The Bible says is that when we fast and when we pray, we enter into a place that God can reach into our lives. Why? Because he's different? No, he's the same. Because I am willing to do whatever it takes to say, God, come make this change in my life. That's what fasting does. Another thing that you can do, another reason, is to set the oppressed free. These are all things that Elijah wrote. You may need to fast for a loved one. Someone that you're praying that's going to come to know the Lord. Maybe God will lay it on your heart to fast for our nation. There have been a lot of churches that have done that through the years. Just take some time and just say, God, come bring revival. God may call some of you to fast for people that you know at your workplace. And just to say, Father, I just want to lay these people before you. And I am so serious about this that I'm not going to eat dinner tonight. Instead of eating dinner, I'm going to pray. That's a fast. You're fasting. God may call you to fast on behalf of someone else's physical need. Fasting can change the environment of things. Let me read you something I found. I thought it was interesting. It says, in Minnesota during the summer of 1876, there was a swarm of grasshoppers destroying crops. This was a long time ago, so. And there was a fear that the grasshoppers would return. So the governor of the state, here, once again, an elected official, he proclaimed a day of prayer and fasting for the entire state of Minnesota, urging every man, woman, and child to petition God's protection, prayer and fasting. When the appointed day arrived, schools and businesses were closed as people prayed for divine intervention. Can you picture that today? It's almost inconceivable, isn't it? How far we've come away from the things that are most important. It says the next day began. When they woke up, a series of days that were unseasonably warm, Minnesota in April. It was more like summer than spring, and the 3 days of warm weather triggered the hatching of the grasshopper larvae. And so the people began to ask God and began to wonder why he had not responded to their prayer and fasting. So the entire state spends a day praying and fasting, asking God to deliver them from this swarm of locusts. And when they're done, instead of it happening, it gets warmer and all the larvae come out. But don't ever forget the but part. The but's important when you're talking about what God's going to do. But the fourth day brought a sudden drop in the temperatures. The entire state of Minnesota was covered with frost that night, and every one of those larvae who had come out because of the heat were killed in the frost, and it was completely diverted. That's what prayer and fasting can do. It can change the environment. It can change the natural course of things. The question is do we have faith enough to believe that God can do anything that he wants to do? That he can change something so drastically in my life that with the natural I look at this and I think there's no possible way that this can change. And in reality, all God may be wanting to see is how serious are we with what it is that's going on in our lives? Just a couple more. We may at times when we fast be asking God for supernatural insight for decisions that we need to make. That's a time to fast. You have got a monumental, potentially life-changing decision in front of you. Do I go left? Do I go right? Can I encourage you to consider spending some time fasting and praying before God, asking him to supernaturally give you wisdom for what it is that you need to do? You can also use fasting when you need to combat Satan and dealing with evil. Turn to Matthew 17. Just look at this with me quickly. We can fast to loose the chains, to break the yokes, to set the oppressed free, salvation, revival. Interceding on someone else's behalf, supernatural insight into decisions that need to be made, as well as combating Satan and dealing with the things of the world. Matthew 17. Let me read you an account here quickly. And many of you are going to be familiar with this, starting in the 14th verse. It's the healing of a boy that had a demon. It says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire, into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. How happy do you think Jesus was to hear that? Took him to your disciples. These guys that have been spending time with you, they couldn't do anything for him. Jesus said, O unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, the NIV doesn't say it, but virtually every other translation does. It says some of these things can only be dealt with in prayer and in fasting. Jesus didn't command his disciples to fast, but he expected them to. He said to them, when you fast, not if you fast. And today as a church, we are not commanded to fast. But it is without question, dear ones, a tool that God has given us in order to see more of God in our lives, to see him bring healing to us. Because that's another reason we can also fast. Some of you may be dealing with physical issues. You can fast and spend time in prayer for physical healing in your life or someone else's life. What I think you're seeing, I hope you're seeing, is that you can fast and pray about anything that's going on in your life. The question is, how serious are you about wanting to see a change? How important is it to you to truly get God's attention about something? You say, wait a minute, Pastor Dave, doesn't he always? Yes, he does. Sure he does. But he wants to know, how serious am I about making this change in my life? Now, let me just share with you just a couple more things, then I'm done. Because we need to understand what fasting is not. This is a place, I think, where many times we get pulled a little bit off track. Here's the first one. Fasting is not a tool to manipulate God. It's not a tool. It's not a way that I can go, okay, God, I'm going to bargain with you here a little bit. No Fritos, no soda, I'll even give up the Pop-Tarts in the morning. But what I need from you is, you see, fasting is about changing us. It's not about changing God. When you read the first five verses of Isaiah 58, you read in there that Isaiah, through God, is speaking through Isaiah, and he's basically chastising the Israelites because what they had been doing was they had been fasting in order to sort of make retribution for some things that they had been doing that were not right, but God saw into their hearts. And what Isaiah was saying to them was, listen, guys, you can fast all you want to because it doesn't matter what's going on inside. Fasting is not about necessarily the outside. It's about what's going on inside of you. And so God was saying to the Israelites, guys, it's not making any difference in your lives. Things need to change. An attitude needs to be adjusted. Something needs to be removed. That's the whole purpose that we're fasting for. And so Isaiah says to them, listen, if you're not going to change your heart, the fasting isn't going to make any difference in your lives at all. Fasting helps to purge the flesh of our lives. That's what fasting does. Let me tell you one other thing too, just as important. Fasting with known sin in your life is pointless. It's pointless. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Dave, what if I'm fasting in order to get rid of this sin in my life? Okay, I'm with you on that. But the issue isn't so much that the sin is known to you, it's what's the intent of your heart is. If you have no intention of seeing that change come into your life, why would you be fasting? If you have no intention of making changes, why do you say to God, God, help me make this change? Because it still comes back to what the condition of your heart is. It still comes back to what you're willing to do. And so, Father, am I willing to embrace this in my life? Am I willing, God, for you to come and to say, okay, these things need to change. This needs to be removed. If you're not willing to do that, don't waste your time. You understand what I'm saying? I don't say this to bring discouragement. I don't say this to bring guilt. Conviction? Yeah, that's things that we need when it's brought by the Holy Spirit to be convicted. So it's not about a tool that manipulates God. The second thing that it's not, it should never be an attempt to impress someone else. And see, Jesus even speaks about this in Matthew 6:16. He says this. I'll just read it. Trust me, it's there. It says, when you fast, there again, when you fast, not if, when. Do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've already received their reward in full. What Jesus was saying is, listen, guys, and who is he talking about primarily? What would you think? Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the day that spoke in this way. Verily, I say unto thee, you are privileged to be with me today. That was sort of the attitude that these guys had. Well, the other thing that they did, when they would fast, they would change their posture. They would change the look on their faces to these horribly depressed faces, and they would move around so that people would come up and say, wow, look at him. He's fasting. He's fasting. He's so religious. Don't bother him. He's fasting. Jesus came and said, guys, if you do that, you've already gotten all you're going to get. That's it. Somebody said, wow, aren't you neat? You're fasting. That's it. It's done. Jesus says, no, don't do that. He said, when you're fasting, clean yourself up, smile on your face, because what you're doing is not for anybody else. It's what you're doing with God. That's what's important. So can I encourage you this morning that when you determine that you're going to fast, see, I didn't say if. I know. This is for me, too. I've never been a big fan of fasting, but I didn't understand it. When you fast, don't change the way you act. Don't change your demeanor. Don't tell every person you run into, God, I am starving. I'm on a two-day fast. Or maybe I'm on a one-hour fast. That would be more mine. I'm on a one-hour fast. I'm starving. Jesus says, no, no. Don't change your demeanor. Don't change the outward, because what's taking place is going on the inside of that. And the third thing then that fasting is not. First one is it's not a tool. Number two, it's not to impress someone else. The third thing is that it cannot become a legalistic bondage in your life. There are a lot of folks that embrace fasting as something that they have to do. I have to fast. No. Fasting can never be mandatory in someone's life. It is voluntary. It is something that you are willing to give up to God, not something that's been taken from you. Can I encourage you that if you end up in a place where there is no food and you have no options, you can't call that a fast. Nice try. That's what I would probably try. That's not a fast. Fasting is something that you're doing from the heart that says, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving this meal. I'm giving this day of food. I'm giving these couple of days, whatever it is that God tells you, I'm giving that to you, Father, so that I can spend the time with you in prayer instead. That's what fasting is. And one other thing, you got to be careful not to look down on someone else if they decide they're not going to fast for whatever reason. They're not at that place yet. We have to be patient. We have to be loving with one another. It's not about condemnation. And I'm going to challenge us in just a couple of minutes about fasting. You need to decide what it is that God's telling you to do in that time. As I've said to you before, though, none of this means anything without prayer. Prayer must be accompanying the fasting. You have to do the two of those things together. Again, if you're not, you're just trying to lose weight. And Katarina and I were talking quite a bit about this earlier this weekend, because she has done a great deal of fasting in her life. Tremendous amount. A lot of it having to do with me before we even knew each other. I am going to tell that story again someday, and I'll do much more detail so that you can hear how God, you, I know you want to hear it. You lived it. That's it. But Katarina has learned a great deal about fasting. And one of the things that we were talking about was, again, just the importance of what you do with that time that you would normally be eating or preparing to eat. You know how much time we spend thinking about and getting ready for food in our lives? I'm trying to sound like I've got a problem with that. I just... We have become a culture, though, that is all about gratification. We're all about the instant gratification. If I'm hungry, boom, I go and I get something to eat. We went to the store yesterday. Oh my gosh. It's unbelievable how much stuff we got. It's not that it's, you know, a lot of frivolous things, but I just thought it was kind of ironic that I'm going to be preaching on fasting, and here we come. We had two carts of food coming out of the store. I'm going, how many are there of us? Is there a bus pulling up outside? It's not about legalistic. It's not about a law. It is about conviction in my heart that says, Father, I'm serious about this. I want to see this change in my life. I want to see this change in someone else's life to your glory. Fasting creates the environment for change to come. Prayer, that's why the two have to go together. Prayer ignites the fire that will radically bring the change. Those are the two elements that come together. Fasting creates the environment. It prepares my heart. We talked about tilling. We talked about getting the soil ready to receive. Fasting does that in a very deep way. But the fire is ignited by prayer when we come before the Father. Now, let me ask you one more time. How serious are you prepared to get in seeking God for answers, for change, for victory in your life? I want to lay a challenge out to you this morning. This Wednesday is the 9th, 10th, 10th, this Wednesday, July 10th. I'm going to ask you to join me in a fast. You say, well, why are we doing this Wednesday? Why don't we just do it tomorrow? Because I want you to spend some time in prayer. I want you to be asking God, Father, number one, how is it that you want me to fast? What do you want me to do? Some of you, if you have experience in fasting, may want to fast for the entire day. It means you're not going to eat anything all day long. That's hard for a lot of people to put their minds around, even in our culture. Because again, we said the word fast means that we remove ourselves from food. Well, when you go to sleep at night, you don't eat anything while you're sleeping from the time you go to bed till the time you get up the next morning. That is, in fact, a form of a fast. What do we call the first meal we eat? Breaking the fast. Breakfast. That's where that comes from. So, what is it that God wants you to do? Maybe you need to fast a meal. Maybe you can fast one or two meals. Maybe there's some foods that you almost always eat that you think, you know, I'm not going to eat those foods. And instead of that, I'm going to spend that time in prayer. But this Wednesday, I am asking you to give that to the Lord, to give that time to Him, and to spend it in prayer. You say, well, Pastor Dave, what if I just, you know, what if I only eat certain foods? I'm still going to eat during the course of the day. I understand that. Just increase your time of prayer. Just have more time that you're going to spend with the Father. So you need to decide what it is that God's going to call you to do. What type of fast are you going to do? But why are you going to fast? Here's what I want you to consider. There might be something in your life this morning that you know God's been speaking to your heart. It needs to change. Could be something physical, something emotional. I want us to come together on Wednesday and fast for you to make that change. You say, wait a minute, do I have to tell somebody what I'm doing? No, not at all. But as we've already said, we can be fasting for other people. We don't have to know the details. But part of my fast, it's not just about me. I can fast for each of you as well, for what God's going to do in your life. I'm serious about this. I want to see change. Maybe there's a situation in your life that you want to see God radically adjust. Not necessarily remove, but God, my thinking needs to be changed. There's something about my life. Maybe there is an event that's taking place right now. You say, God, I'm serious. Here, let me give you my meals today, and instead I'm going to spend this time in prayer. You say, Pastor Dave, how is it that that's got so much authority and power? Because God ordained it. That's why. We didn't make up the concept of fasting. That's from God. And then the last thing I want to ask you to do for this, I'd like you to fast for this church. Fast for our church. And here's specifically what I want you to fast for. Fast for where and when God wants to lead us to our new home. Okay, I want to get serious about that. Like we said, we love this place. I've loved being here. It's familiar. It's home. But the time has come for us to find our own home. Time to find our own place. Set all our stuff up, leave it there, have rooms for the kids and music and offices and all that at some point. How serious are we about that? I want to fast about that on Wednesday. I also want us to fast about those that God's going to be bringing to this church in the future. We are growing. We had 60 folks here last week, something like that. We can't have much more than that and not be right on top of each other. It's one of the other reasons we need to be looking. But the people that God's going to be bringing to this church are not going to be church people. That's my prayer. Some will, but I'm asking God to bring people that are just going, you know, I heard about this place, or I saw the advertisement. We're going to start some advertising in the fall. You know, I saw this advertised, and who are you guys? And they will have no idea what the songs are that we sing. They probably don't even own a Bible. And if they do, it's probably one of those huge coffee table ones that they have to lug around. But we want to pray for those folks and to prepare us to receive them to come in. And then finally, would you please fast for the leadership of this church? For me, for Katarina, for our eldership, our board of directors rather, for Dave and Faith. People that God has brought to say, you know, these are the situations that we're looking at, and we're going to raise up leaders. There are more leaders coming. I pray for them every time. God, send me men and women that have a heart to lead, because we're going to need them. When God grows this church to wherever it is it's going to grow, we're going to need more people to be able to do that. But how serious are we about that? We can talk about it, but are we serious? When we fast, we're showing God that we really mean business. My friends, I'm going to ask you to do that on Wednesday with us. You don't need to tell me what you're going to do. That's going to be up to you. Fast for the day, fast a meal, fast some elements of food. But you got to spend the time in prayer that you would normally be eating. Will you do that with me on Wednesday? And then the last thing, and with this I'll close. Be ready for what it is God's going to do. Be watching. God's going to do some things in lives in this room because of that time on Wednesday. I'm convinced some things are radically going to change. I don't know what that may be. Jeff, I know you and Christy are asking God about your house. What do we do? Where do we go? When? What? How? It could be a day of real answers for you on Wednesday. I know a number of you in here are praying about physical things in your lives. It could be a real day of change for you. Supernatural healing? Could be. Absolutely. Can God do that? Absolutely He can. Absolutely He can. So join me with that on Wednesday, and let's do that together as a family. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, God, that you want us to understand your word. And as we look at this aspect of fasting, God, something that, Lord, I confess, I've not embraced that in my life too often. But Lord, I know that you're bringing us to a time of change because we do in this hour, with this culture, with the world where we are, where things are headed. God, we need to show you how serious we are about our walk with you. So, Father, I pray that there would be just very clear direction for each and every one of my brothers and sisters here this morning. God, there are a number of them here, I believe, that are going to be fasting that entire day for you. And I thank you for that. There are going to be others, Father, that are going to fast a portion of it. And God, there may be even some here that are saying, I just don't know if I'm ready for that. That's okay. Father, where are we? Where are our hearts? Because God, this is not about us. It's about worshiping you with everything that we do. And so bless us, I pray, God. And we look forward to what it is you're going to do. Lord, bless each and every person here. Go with us as we leave this place. Bring us back safely next week at 6 o'clock. And Lord, we're just going to love you and enjoy a great time together with all of our family. And we love you, Lord. Look forward to what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name, say with me, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand clap.